NFLTalkRadio.com.
I'm a perky disco turkey because I love to dance. I know this may seem bizarre. It's the coolest thing to do. That's why I'm such a star. Step side to side, reach high and low. Wiggle your shoulders and make a pose. Repeat side to side, high and low. Shake your feathers and point your toes. Now say gobble, gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
And strut, strut, strut.
And strut, strut, strut.
Do a wobble, wobble, wobble.
Wobble, wobble, wobble.
And then we got stuck.
And welcome to the record here on WildTalkRadio.com. Guys, hi, it is the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving Spectacular. And well, Brock and I, we're chowing down on some yummy Turkey Day food if you're listening to this on a Thursday. And if you're not listening to us on this on a Thursday, well, we had some really good Thanksgiving food. I'm just going to go ahead and call that shot right now because my mom cooked and my mom is an awesome cook. But anyway, we're here. We're recording this live. We're not obviously live with you because if it's Thursday, we're with our families and otherwise we're off. But we wanted to be with you today, whether you're celebrating Thanksgiving, whether you're celebrating Thursday and it's almost the weekend or what have you. We wanted to be here to make sure that we celebrated with you. And you know what? We have a gift for you.
We do?
We do. We have a gift, guys. You go to manscaped.com right now because Black Friday, if you're listening to this on a Thursday, or if it happens to be Black Friday, you can use code WTRLIVE and get 20% off plus free shipping in anything on their shop for the remainder of the month. So please, please, code WTRLIVE, hit that hard in their shop. Pick up some stuff, whether it's for yourself, whether it's for some friends, whether it's for family, whoever, you can save yourself a little money, save yourself a little shipping. You know, it's all good. So code WTRLIVE, manscaped.com. And also check out mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. All our very fine sponsors.
Speaking of manscaped.com, you get the nail grooming kit, the lawnmower 3.0, the boxers, all the other fun items they have. It's manscaped.com, code WTRLIVE.
They have a t-shirt.
I mean, it's simple. Anyone could wear a manscaped.com t-shirt.
I mean, why not, y'all? I mean, it's 2020 for 6 more weeks. Just go with it. Not even 6 weeks. I think we're 5 weeks out from the end of the year. That's so scary. That's so scary, guys.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, thank goodness. Hopefully things turn around in 2021, but damn, this year is just flown. I kind of want this year back, honestly. I really actually kind of want this year back. I'm a little pissed that I've lost 9 months of my life to this. Just a little bitter.
Just a tiny bit.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. We are here to talk about all things Survivor Series, which was this past Sunday or Sunday, depending on when you're listening to this. On the WWE Network, it was the Clash of the Brands.
The Battle for Brand Supremacy.
And the final farewell of The Undertaker.
He's our main event tonight. We're going to close with The Undertaker, just like they closed with The Undertaker. So if
probably you because we're going to go really long on The Undertaker.
So if you want to hear us talk about The Undertaker, skip forward about a half hour.
Yeah.
And then you hear us talk all things Undertaker.
Because it was a beautiful send-off, but we'll tell you all about it later in the show. So why don't we just jump right into the matches, which on the pre-show, we had a very random Raw versus SmackDown Battle Royale, because why not?
Because it's the battle for brand supremacy. The Miz won. So Monday Night Raw got the win.
Hey, they strike first blood in the series. So they're up 1-0 over SmackDown. This is fine. I mean, there's nothing really to talk about it. He eliminated Dominic Mysterio.
After, oh my God, he wasn't eliminated. He went through the bottom rope, so he's still legal. And then they kind of mention it, but they don't really mention it. Like, Tom Phillips tried mentioning it, but they quickly blew past it that he was still legal, and, you know.
Tom Phillips tried to do his job like a respectable human being.
He tried. He really, really tried. But we need to talk about the most historic moment of the night that happened on the kickoff show.
What could be more historic than The Undertaker?
30 years ago, there was an egg.
Oh, God.
30 years ago, Mark Calloway thought he was going to be in the egg. 30 years ago, Mark Calloway was not in the egg. He was The Undertaker. But the egg hatched. We got a gobbledygooker. And on this night, Survivor Series, 30 years to the day, thanks to R-Truth, he brought back the gobbledygooker. And on this night, the gobbledygooker won the 24/7 championship. Congrats to the gobbledygooker.
You know, as a joke, I kind of wish they, like, made an Eggman costume and presented it to Mark Calloway.
That would have been funny.
It would have been hysterical. So, Mark, we're going to, after 30 years, we're going to repackage you. Here is your Eggman costume.
Hey, I mean, he said The Undertaker was done.
He did. He never said Mark Calloway was done. Just The Undertaker.
Eggman coming soon.
Eggman. Eggman debuting in 2 weeks on one of the shows. Anyway, no, we're kidding.
I hope we're kidding.
Honestly, you never know.
You never know.
I'm sure Mark would do it. I'm sure he would, but I don't know if he would want to at this point. But who knows? Anyway, opening the show, we have your men's Survivor Series elimination match 5-on-5. It's Team Raw with the captain, not captain, AJ Styles, leading Keith Lee, Sheamus, Braun Strowman, and Matt Riddle.
No, Riddle.
He has a full name. It's Matt Riddle. I am not calling him Riddle. It's Matt Riddle. He has a first and a last name. Why are we shortening people's names? It's stupid. With Omos, as they took on Team SmackDown, Kevin Owens, Jey Uso, King Corbin, Seth Rollins, and Otis.
Why aren't you saying Otis's last name, huh? Huh?
Otis doesn't have a last name.
Yes, he did. Dojovic. They got rid of it. But you're okay with it just being Otis? Not okay with it being Riddle? I see how it is. I see.
Because I've always known Matt Riddle as Matt Riddle. I've known Otis as just fucking Otis. Anyway, Seth Rollins took one for the team to essentially open the match rather than face Matt Riddle. And he got kicked in the face, so he's been written off television.
For the greater good.
For the greater good. You know you have to do it. Just do the thing. And he got down on his knees in front of Sheamus and held out his arms. And he's like, just do it.
Okay, so I like what they're doing with Seth Rollins in the last couple weeks. They had him wrap up the feud with Ray. Finish off with Murphy. And now they wrote himself off for the greater good.
For those of you that are not aware, Seth Rollins is preparing to become a father. They have written him off TV so he can go spend one time with his very beautiful, lovely wife/fiance. I'm not sure if they're married. Becky Lynch, the man, before she has the baby. And then once she has the baby, he will get to do all the wonderful dad things that you get to do with a newborn. So that's why he's been written off TV.
Like change diapers.
Yes, like change diapers. So, number one, congratulations, Seth. Best of luck. Enjoy your sleep while you get it. That's all I'm going to say. That's what everybody tells me. Enjoy sleeping now. Because he ain't getting none for like 18 years. This was a solid match.
Surprising finish.
Very, very, very surprising finish. Raw defeated SmackDown with authority. Not just, you know, it was close. There was no close about this. It was with goddamn authority that Raw beat SmackDown.
They did.
So that brings them up 2-0 over SmackDown. I like this match. I thought it was good. I thought it was a decent opener.
It was fine. It wasn't the best Survivor Series elimination match. There was no compelling drama to it since Raw dominated. So it was just a strictly domination. Like, the good, really good Survivor Series elimination matches have some sort of drama to it.
Yeah. And just to give you an idea of how dominant Raw was, none of them were eliminated. And each man got an elimination. So Sheamus eliminated Seth, AJ eliminated Kevin, Matt Riddle eliminated Corbin, Braun Strowman eliminated Otis, and Keith Lee eliminated Jey Uso. for the win. And well, this led to Jey Uso getting a scolding from Roman Reigns because Paul Heyman was watching the match backstage the entire time and Roman is upset.
He was. Should mention one thing. Otis is the man. He proved how awesome he can be in the ring when you get rid of the comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He looked good.
I think he's lost a little weight, too.
Maybe?
I think he's been working out more. So I think he's been working on just, like, building tone and everything.
He's been clanging. Yeah. He's been clanging and banging and clanging and banging in the gym.
He's been hitting those stakes and weights, man.
Stakes and weights. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So everybody looked good. Raw defeats SmackDown. And we move on to one of the highly anticipated matches, which was the Street Profits taking on the New Day. Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods with a guest appearance by Big E in a tag champ versus tag champ match. The New Day came out in their Gears of War outfits to obviously promo the fact that they have skins in Gears of War, which go check them out, buy the skins. They're amazing. They're awesome. But yeah, the real life stuff looked absolutely sick. And well, we had a good match because basically Montez Ford had to cut a promo so New Day could change. He cut a really good promo.
That's what happened, all right.
In Gorilla. And then we get to the match as Montez has acquired a blue solo cup for the blue brand. And this was a really good match. And you forget how good New Day is when they're kind of working heel.
Yeah. Mentioned it on Thursday where it was like, they're going to be ones working heel. And by God, they worked heel and they were really good at it. Like, they weren't cheating or anything, but they were cocky. And it added a lot to the match.
Yeah. When you have two teams that are very, very similar in attitude and that kind of thing, you kind of have to make one the bad guy and one the good guy just for balance purposes. But these two mixed so well together, I wouldn't mind seeing another one at all. Please give it to me. And in the end, the Street Profits end up taking down the New Day, scoring the first victory for SmackDown, bringing your total to 2-1.
Yeah, I enjoyed the match, and the right team went over. New Day didn't need the win. Street Profits did. That's what we got.
And I'm okay with that. I mean, either team winning would have been completely fine. I think I would agree Street Profits needed it more.
It now gives New Day something to prove down the line.
Yeah.
Like they now have to, you know, figure out a way to beat this team. And I'm okay with that.
I'm definitely okay with that. So, all right. Up next, we have Bobby Lashley, the Raw United States Champion, with the Hurt Business MVP, Cedric Alexander, and Shelton Benjamin, taking on the SmackDown Intercontinental Champion, I can speak, Sami Zayn. I love Sami. He just knows what he's doing. He's so good at what he's doing.
Yeah, he tried for like 7 minutes to get disqualified.
I mean, good God. Just everything under the sun to get himself disqualified. Just everything. And he just could not do it.
The best was, he tripped me.
He's taunting Benjamin. He's taunting MVP.
The only one who got close was Cedric.
Yeah. He was trying to get them to hit him, and they wouldn't do it because they knew what it would cost Bobby. And Cedric was like, but it'd be worth it. It'd be worth it to just sock him in the mouth just one time.
Just one time. One time right in the mouth.
It'd be so worth it. But Cedric held his temper, and in the end, Bobby Lashley finally caught Sammy and submitted him for Raw to get yet another victory, taking the count to 3-1.
It was just a really long squash match.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. But at least Sammy was entertaining. So there's that.
There is that, yeah.
And then there's this one. The other really highly anticipated match. Sasha Banks, the SmackDown Women's Champion, taking on Asuka, the Raw Women's Champion, in a very, very good match. Very fun match.
Yeah, it was really good work by both women. And in the end, Sasha was able to get the win. Well deserved.
Yeah, very well deserved. I like that they had Sasha go over Asuka. She gets her win back over Asuka. Or series of wins. Or series of losses where she gets the win. Whatever you want to call it. It just makes her look stronger. Asuka doesn't necessarily need the victory. Plus, they made up for it the next night. So, I have no problem with this. I will take Sasha and Asuka any way we can get them. Because it's good. And you know it's going to be good every time. So
Sasha got the win back a few months ago when she took the belt from Asuka. with help from Bayley. Asuka got her revenge at SummerSlam, so Sasha's now able to get the win here on pay-per-view. It's a big win for her. Asuka did not look weak at all, which was a good thing. It was very competitive. So,
As it should be. And what I like is, again, you had Sasha do it on her own. She proved that she 1000% does not need Bayley to get a victory.
Yeah.
So, and speaking of Bayley, we have Bayley leading Team SmackDown into battle as she takes on Team Raw. Let me get this right. And Bayley leads Bianca Belair, Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, and Natalya as they take on Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Lacey Evans, Peyton Royce, and Lana. So, we're going to go a little longer on this one, just so everybody's aware. And we're going to talk about the match before we talk about the issue, at least my issue with the match.
So, can we talk about the really good positives on this one?
Yes, let's talk about the positives first.
Peyton Royce looked really good.
Like the hair color.
Love the hair color. Back to the, about from three years ago in NXT when they were up on the come up with her. Nice look. She looked good. She pinned Bayley in this match.
Got her out. Got rid of her.
Then she quickly got eliminated by Natalya, who, Natty, don't try for the surfboard. It didn't work.
She's trying things, but yeah.
It didn't quite work for her. Liv looked good in this matchup. Ruby looked good in this matchup. Bianca looked awesome in this matchup. Her speed and her agility, ooh, my God, it was awesome.
I really wish they would do more with Bianca Belair. I really wish they would. She's such a star, and they're not doing anything with her. And it's a shame. It's an absolute shame. She should be at the top of the SmackDown Women's Division, and I know she will get there. I know she will. But she should be there right now, and she's just not, and I'm weeping because of that. In terms of Liv, I feel like Liv is, like, improved leaps and bounds.
When you go
very recently.
When you don't give her 2-minute matches, and you let them work, her and Peyton, when you give them time to find their legs in a match, and not trying to rush through 10 spots in 2 minutes, the girls can work. They know what they're doing. They've been trained properly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like giving Peyton some legs, giving Liv some legs in this match. It was like, okay, they can get their stuff in. It can look really good. They had good performers to work with in this matchup. So it's like that helped elevate them. I thought the two of them came out of this one really strong. And hopefully people in charge saw that and will put them in positions. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but down the line in positions to where they can shine more.
Exactly. Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. You definitely had some superstars in this match. You definitely got to see some people start to break away. And I really wish that they had used this match as a way to break multiple people away. They didn't. Okay.
They had the opportunity. They had the chance to.
Okay. We're just going to talk about it. The elephant in the room.
Time to put a baby in the corner.
So, I think we haven't made any secret on this show, on the Raw Post show, really on any show on this network, that we are not a fan of the Lana storyline as a whole. For the past 9 weeks, you have had Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler and the rest of the Raw women's locker room essentially bullying Lana. Jax and Baszler, especially because they have put her through a table 9 times in a row, and absolutely nobody has done anything to help Lana. Nobody's done anything to stop her. I think begrudgingly Mandy and Dana helped her once, but they're like, we still don't like you. Okay, normally that wouldn't necessarily be an issue, except here's the thing. They dropped a documentary for Lana on Saturday chronicling 1 year in WWE. What she talks about in it is her battles with mental health, with depression, with people going after her on social, with bullying, with all this stuff, right? And her having to deal with this stuff. And it's like, and she's persevered through it. She's come through it. She says she's a stronger person for it. You know that they're not going to get her down, right? So that sets up Sunday night, where you have Lana get into where they, you know, basically they're all like, we don't like you. We don't want you here. You don't deserve to be here. Yada, yada, yada. But they have her there because they don't have any choice kind of thing. And they keep her out of the ring. And eventually Lana works her way into the ring. She does a couple things with Natty, just really long enough to smear her lipstick. And then they get her out of the ring. And you have Peyton, Lacey, Shayna, and Nia berate Lana. And then make her stand on the stairs, not on the apron, on the stairs to the ring while they wrestle the match. And she stays there for the majority of the 23-minute match that they put on, watching woman after woman after woman after woman get eliminated until it gets down to Bianca Belair and Nia Jax. And Bianca and Nia are fighting, and they're on the outside, and the ref's counting, and he's counting, and he's counting. And Bianca manages to chuck Nia over the barricade into the fan section, and then she tries to scramble to get back into the ring, and well, she's a little too late, and Bianca and Nia both get counted out.
Can I stop you right there for a second?
Mm-hmm.
That was a dumb spot to begin with. The double count out is stupid. All right, continue.
Anyway, yes, I would completely agree with that, by the way.
just wanted to get that part in there.
This is after, by the way, before I finish this, this is after you had Bianca fight Shayna and Nia on her own and actually take out Shayna.
Mm-hmm.
And take out Nia. And Bianca had been in the match the whole time. Like, Bianca looked like a damn boss in this match. And the defeat for her was especially bad because she's doubled over the ring apron, reaching into the ring. Like, she's right there. She's got one leg up on the apron trying to roll in, and they're like, it's 10, it's over, it's over, it's over. And she's just laying there agape like WTF. I think like everybody else, WTF. So match ends, and well, wouldn't you know it, because she wasn't in the match because she was never eliminated, you have Little Miss Lana pick up the victory for Team Raw, and she is the sole survivor. Okay, I have no problem with Lana being the sole survivor. I think it's a great story to tell. Here's where I take issue. You didn't have her do anything. You literally had her get put through a table for 9 weeks. You had her get bullied. You had her get berated. You had her get humiliated. You had her get screamed at. You had her get put in a fucking corner for 20 minutes, and then you make her the sole survivor. And then everybody's acting like it's the second coming of Jesus. Because she won. This is like doing a group project where everybody else does the work and you do nothing and you still get an A. That's what this is. It's not a bad thing because you still got the A and you still have a reason to celebrate, and she does have a reason to celebrate it. I'm not taking away from it. I'm not trying to go after her. I'm going after the writing on this. This is not on her. This is on the writing. Why the fuck would you do that? If your whole point is to make Lana, right? To make Lana look competent, to make Lana appear as if she's overcoming these obstacles, right? Of four other women sticking her in a corner, of all these women bullying her, of nobody in the locker room believing in her or taking her seriously, then why wouldn't you have her get in the ring and show why she's competent? Why are you having her luck into this? Because in the end, her lucking into it doesn't demonstrate a level of competency, and it doesn't necessarily demonstrate a level of respect. Because all it's going to take is to be like, you know, and she's all running around like, hey, I won, I won, I won, I won. And all somebody needs to go is, you didn't do anything to win. Because she didn't. She did nothing. She did sweet fuck all.
She did. To win that match. Zero. Zero.
It makes her look so foolish. Like I said, it's one thing if she was in. Okay. So here's the thing. It's one thing if she's in the ring, right? And she's fighting. And she gets knocked out of the ring, or she gets put down by somebody else in the match. And she's out on the outside, right? And that's how she wins the match. Is she's, like, supposedly knocked out on the outside, or she's down on the outside.
I'll go back to it. Nia put her through the table. Think about it. Nia, her own partner, puts her through the table, and she's just laying there, and that's how she wins. That would have been a humorous way to do it. They didn't do that.
They didn't do that. I mean, it would have been a humorous way to do it. I don't know if I agree with that either, but it's, like, something where she's in the match, she's participating in the match, somebody beats her up, somebody puts her down, everybody else gets eliminated, and she's out for the entire match, and everybody else gets eliminated, and she wins, because she's never pinned, right? They do it every year in the Rumble, where somebody gets knocked out in the Rumble, and then they come back in the end. Same principle. You just do it in a Survivor Series match.
You saw it in the Battle Royale earlier.
Yeah. It's like, you could do that, and it's completely fine, and maybe that's why they didn't do it, is because they did it in the Battle Royale. But it would be, I feel like, a more respectful way to Lana, because it doesn't really showcase anything that she can do. They're not showcasing her as a wrestler.
They mentioned it on Sunday. She should have beat, like, Natty. She should have got in the ring and beat someone. That would have put some respect on that name.
But she didn't. And then they have her walking around Monday. You know, the cat's meow because she's the sole survivor, right? Nye and Shannon are pissed. Peyton doesn't really give a shit. I don't think we even saw Peyton.
Nor Lacey.
Nor Lacey. I think they did like a backstage segment or something where Lacey brought her a present. I don't know. But anyway, but it was like on the Instagram or the Twitter or whatever. But Shayna and I are pissed because Lana's the sole survivor. And Asuka walks up to Lana and she's like, hey, congratulations. You know, you won. Hey, you want to fight? And so Lana gets a match with Asuka for the title, I believe, right?
Yes.
And Nia and Shayna come out and ruin it. And then they try to beat Lana up. It turns into a tag match. And then Lana and Asuka, with Asuka getting the pin, beat Nia and Shayna, which technically would make them the number one contenders for Nia and Shayna's titles. Now, I will say Monday night, they did a better job with it because Lana was more present in the match. Sunday night, not so much. And I just feel like they did her wrong. I feel like it's like, why would you go 9 weeks of putting her through a table, have her get bullied, have her get put down, and ultimately she wins because of that bullying. Not in spite of it, but because of it. She wins. And then you use that as your launching point. I feel like they did her really, really wrong. And maybe I'm the only one that feels like that, but it just does. It's, to me, it's like, it's a bad story. Like, they did a good job with the storytelling. They did a good job conveying everything and getting that across. But in the end, to me, it's a bad story to tell. Because it's like, with the message that you're sending is like, hey, you know, kids, it's okay if you let people bully you because you're still going to persevere in the end.
They want her to be the underdog, right? Is that the idea?
I don't know anymore, but I'm assuming that's what they want, yes.
That seemed like the concept. None of what they did at Survivor Series made her look like an underdog. None of it. Her standing in a corner not doing anything, show some backbone. Give this character some backbone. But no, she just stood there. She should be a fighter. She should have backbone. But they didn't let her have backbone. They made her look foolish. And they now want me to care about the Lana story after they lucked her into a win. Not like a luck, oh my god, 1, 2, 3, pin, cradle. Oh no, she stood there and got a win. Like, no. I heard a ridiculous rumor, I'm going to talk about it right now. That's how they want her to win the Royal Rumble, is she comes out at number 30 after 28 and 29, or the last two get throw themselves out, and she just comes out 30 and wins.
No, that would be so cheap.
That would be the dumbest finish of all time.
That would be so, so cheap. Like, Lana can work. And I will admit, Lana is not the best, right?
But she's not. She's working with Natty to improve.
She's improved leaps and bounds since she debuted as a wrestler. And she's really actively trying to improve. And the only way she's going to get better is working in matches. And maybe that's why they didn't have her wrestles, because they felt like maybe she couldn't. I don't know. I don't know exactly why they did what they did. I don't like it, though, because I think in the end, it doesn't do her any credit.
At some point, you got to give the character a chance. You got to give a performer a chance to stretch her legs and do something. And if you don't let them stretch their legs and do something, they're never going to improve. We just spent here the first 5 minutes of this match to talk about how we saw improvement in Peyton, improvement in Lana, because they were because they were allowed to work, how they were allowed to, you know, stretch their legs and get involved.
I mean, the perfect opportunity would have been Bianca and Nia are fighting on the outside, and you have Lana jump down, and you have Lana stop Bianca from getting in the ring, where she actively participates in it, where even if she just jumps down and she stops her from getting back in the ring, you know, just they have a stare down, she costs Bianca the match, and that's how she wins.
Something where she's shown backbone and doing something.
And she did a little bit when she was in the ring with Natty, but it just, to me, it was like, it was not enough, because then right after that, they put her in the corner and they left her in the corner.
Yeah, and that's when they took her backbone away.
Like I said, I wasn't a fan of how they wrote her. I wasn't a fan of how they portrayed her. I know Lana is a lot stronger than that. And that's the other thing, is they're trying to portray her as weak, or not weak, but not defenseless, but sort of helpless, I think. And I know for a fact Lana is not that.
No, she's not.
Lana, especially in the past, when she was managing Rusev, girl got some teeth. She's not afraid of anything. Give me that Lana. Let this Lana have that Lana's backbone, have her teeth, you're on something. She doesn't have to do the Russian accent. She doesn't need to do the Russian accent. But the Lana that managed Rusev was a hell of a lot stronger than the Lana that's being written right now. And I'm really not sure I'm okay with it. Like, let the girl fight. Let her do what she knows how to do. She may surprise you.
She may.
And well, that's it. There's nothing more to talk about on the show. We're done.
No, no.
Yay!
No, no. We got a couple. We have a few things to get to.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
Nope. It never happened.
No. There's still another match and there's still another title change we have to talk about.
Okay.
Backstage. By the way, before we go backstage, this is the Rax Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving Spectacular presented by Manscaped.com. Go to Manscaped.com this Black Friday or Cyber Monday. You can save 20% off and get free shipping by using code WTRLIVE. That's a win-win deal. Go do the thing. Manscaped.com. Do it. So we go backstage, and the gobbledygooker is walking around, and he finds some birdseed. He's all happy. He found some birdseed, and he's just throwing it up in the air. Yay!
I feel bad for the production intern that had to clean that up.
Tozawa rolled him up 1, 2, 3. He lost the title. Then R-Truth found a bag of birdseed that just happened to be right there. Whacked Tozawa on the back with it. 1, 2, 3. He's now the 45-time 24/7 champion. Then, our main event. Universal champion versus WWE champion. Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre. Thoughts?
This was better than I thought it would be. I will give credit where credit is due. When Roman is not mired down in family BS, I like the character a little better, but I think at this point I've kind of checked out on the character. Because I just don't have a reason to really be into him at this stage. Like, they did something really, really great with him when they first brought him back. And then I think the family BS just took that shine off it for me. And we should mention that earlier in the night, Roman meets with Jay and basically tells him to F off because Jay messed up. He lost. Roman doesn't have time for losers tonight. And Jay should just go find his brother after Jay's brother was like, what's wrong with you? You're being a prick. Stop it. So Roman basically like dismisses Jay because he just doesn't want to deal with him, which Jay plays a part in this match later to prove himself, which again, I just don't understand that storyline.
So this match dragged a little early, but it got good. I would say the last 10 minutes, it got physical, it got aggressive. They did some stuff on the outside, a couple of table spots, the spear through the,
oh, it got that one
barricade. Yeah. The one where he tried to put him through and then had to do it again. Yeah.
Table didn't break.
And then Roman's hitting some finishes, and it's like, all right, Drew's done, right? But he kept getting back up. Reigns at one point yells at Joe, you've seen this shit before, as he gets ready for a spear. But McIntyre hit the Claymore, but Reigns hit the ref. This is where Jay comes out, gets Drew fights him off. This allows Roman to hit a low blow. Jay hits a super kick. Reigns hits a Superman punch into the guillotine. A new ref comes out, checks on Roman. He's out for the count. Roman Reigns
wins. You mean
wins.
Drew. Checks on Drew.
Checks on Drew, my bad. And Reigns is out for the count.
When Roman got aggressive and Drew got aggressive, this obviously got better.
Yeah.
I like that they built this match. I like that they crescendoed this match because they really didn't have a reason to fight beyond just it's Survivor Series, y'all have to fight.
Brand supremacy.
But this gave Roman a more legitimate competitor, not to say that Jey Uso was not, but that was a much more personal family storyline versus this is a much more business storyline. And when you take Roman out of a storyline that doesn't really make sense, because I'm just going to say it. Okay, Roman's whole thing, at least to me, in the storyline with Jey was he wants Jey's love, respect, admiration, and ultimately his loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
He wants Jay to stand beside him. He wants Jay to fight with him and for him, right? He wants all those things. So they have a series of matches. Roman eventually ends up demanding that of Jay, not realizing that he already had it. He already had all of that. Like, Jay would have done anything Roman asked him to. And Roman gets pissed because he offers Jay the shot, and Jay takes it. Because who the hell wouldn't, right?
Yeah.
In Jay's entire career, he got multiple world title shots. It's probably never going to happen for him again if they don't relegate him to tag team. If they keep him as a single, that would be interesting. But he has a history of being a tag team guy. They're bringing his brother back into it. And I don't know if it's that his brother doesn't want to wrestle anymore. I don't know if his brother can't wrestle anymore.
He's still hurt.
Okay, so he's still hurt. He's technically like as a background player.
He's like 2 months away, I think.
Okay, that makes sense. So for now, they're pushing Jay as a singles competitor, which is great. And he deserves it. He absolutely deserves it. Don't get me wrong. He does. But the whole Roman storyline got really, really, really confusing because it's like, I still feel like Roman could have given Jay the shot, right? Jay goes for it and Roman, it doesn't sit well with Roman, but he lets it go, mm-hmm. right? He lets it go because Jay's like, you know, hey, hope you understand. You gave me the chance. I took the chance, but I'm still with you. I'm still standing with you. And I don't know if it's that they didn't have anybody for Roman ready. I don't know if they didn't want to make anybody ready for Roman. But for whatever reason, they did not have another competitor there for Roman to take over for Jay. They did a series of matches. But it's like you could have had Jay stand beside Roman anyway, and it just eats away at Roman, right? That Jay's there, that Jay basically challenge his authority. And as Roman's ego grows, as Heyman's poison gets deeper and deeper into Roman's veins, eventually Roman's like, you know what? Something's been bugging me. This is what's been bugging me. And he goes for Jay. On the flip side of that, you could have had Roman's actions get increasingly questionable. You could have had Jay kind of be like, maybe this isn't okay. Kind of have a moral objection to this. Not sure if I really want to do it, but you're my cousin, you're my family, I would do anything for you, so I'm going to do this morally questionable thing. Because we've all done it, okay? We've all done something for our family that we have not necessarily agreed with. It's varying levels, it's not necessarily illegal, it's not necessarily bad, but there's been something that a family member has asked you to do, or a friend has asked you to do, that you're like, maybe I don't want to do this, but I love you enough to do it, so I'm going to do it for you anyway, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Jay kind of start to pull back a little bit. And that's what starts to irk Roman. And eventually Roman does ask Jay to do something that Jay doesn't want to do. And he calls Roman out on his bullshit. And he calls Heyman out on his bullshit. And then the two fucking fight, right? Again. And you don't necessarily have to do this over a series of months. You could do this over a series of weeks, although months would be better, where you just really slow burn this, slow build this, grow this into something so it gets really, really, really personal. Because Roman's like, you know what, hey, you remember that time I gave you that title shot and you challenged me and you challenged my authority? You're doing it again. I don't like it. And you have Jay be like, well, you're acting like a dick and somebody has to tell you, so guess what? It's me. You want to fight about it? And then they have the fight. And this is where you have Roman start to demand he's the head of the family, right? He's the one in charge. He's the head of the family. What he says goes. Because while all this is going on, you can set that up where Afa and Sika pass that off to Roman and say, hey, you're in charge now. It's all good. It's fine. Go beat up your cousin. We don't like him anyway. Kind of thing, you know? But they didn't. They mired Roman down in that storyline, and I just checked out on it. And that was my other issue. Rikishi was goddamn there Sunday night. He was there. We saw him, and they didn't involve him. Because I think he even did something on the pre-show, right? Or he did something on one of the social accounts or something, and he was backstage with his sons.
Yeah, they showed him.
And it's like, you didn't have Rikishi call Roman out? And be like, WTF are you doing? Son, what are you doing? Why are you listening to him? Why are you following him? He's not the head of the family.
But he is.
But he's not. He's not the head of the family. He might be the head of his family, but he's not head of the family. There's a few other people a little higher on the food chain than him. But I digress. Anyway, back to the match with Drew. Tangent. This was good. I like this. I still feel like this would have been better if they had built this better and not put Drew in at the last minute, not made us think it was going to be Randy, and ultimately just have a story behind it beyond it just being champion versus champion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I would have preferred that. But for the match, for what it was fine. In the end, no surprise to anybody, Roman Reigns picks up the victory for SmackDown.
Are you ready?
No.
All right, we're done. This has been the Thanksgiving Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble special of The Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. No, you have to talk about it.
I do want to talk about it. I really do actually want to talk about it.
So let me set it up for you?
Yes.
Okay. Mike Rome in the ring.
His hair was tall, by the way.
He goes, "What? This is the Undertaker's final farewell." And the phrasing of it, it just seemed really weird. Like, oh, it's the final farewell. Even though it is, it's just like, I know how they're trying to set the segment. It's just like, oh, announcing it as it's like, it was weird to me. So you had Shane McMahon, Big Show, JBL, Jeff Hardy with Undertaker face paint. Mick Foley, the Godfather, the Godwins in overalls. Savio Vega, Rikishi, Kevin Nash, Booker T, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, Triple H, and Kane all come out. Everyone got an entrance. They all ribbed Kane, I think. Maybe.
I don't know. I go back and forth on that because...
It's not a rib. It's what, because it's Kane the character, so he's got to be in character.
The thing is Taker came out in costume.
Oh, it's Taker.
It's well, okay, no, let me finish. Taker comes out in the old school Undertaker costume. Not as the American Badass Taker, not as the Holy Trinity Taker, as the Dead Man Undertaker one more time. He comes out in the long coat and the hat one more time. I actually would have laughed and kind of loved if he came out in like a variant of the original costume, because they made replicas of like the gloves and the tie that he wore for a box.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been cool if he broke that out, if he still has it, which he probably does somewhere in his house. But he came out in the hat and the coat with the full Dead Man Undertaker look. So I kind of feel like for Kane, they're like, Glenn, we need you to be in character. And he was like, okay, fine. But you could have let him wear a suit.
Yeah.
Like, I felt really bad for him because he's like just out there all on his own, you know, just hanging out in his gear. Like, here's all these legends across the ring from him, and then here's Kane, an island unto himself. And I'm not sure if they didn't want to get near him because he realized he'd been ribbed, or if they didn't want to get near him because he's like, they're like, oh, it's Kane, he's scary, let's stay away from him. Like, I go back and forth on this, and I'm not 100% sure yet what it actually was. So somebody please interview Glenn Jacobs and find out what it was, if he tells you, because I don't know. He didn't look happy. I will say that. He did not look pleased. He's like, let's get this over with kind of thing. But he could have worn a suit with the mask and it would have been fine. So yeah, so that was a nice tribute, but I had to laugh because we were joking, right? Where it's like 9:45 or 9:50, Drew and Roman ends, and then they're doing the intro. And it's like, well, wait, are they going to have Taker come out at a really weird time? And I kept saying, Taker comes out at 10. Like, the Undertaker's coming on at 10. The pay-per-view ends at 10, and then it's the Undertaker tribute. That's what it is, and that's pretty much what happened. They start bringing out the legends right around 10.
Yeah.
And I think they got through with everybody about 10:15, 10:20, because Taker didn't come out.
He came out like 10:15.
Yeah, it took them a minute to get everybody out there and in the ring, because they all had to hug and be like, oh my god, it's so good to see you! Even though they've been backstage drinking the whole night.
Yeah.
You know they have.
So they play an awesome video package with Metallica. Then they bring out Vince McMahon, who did not walk to the ring. He was already in the ring.
Can we just... Okay, first they got all the legends out of the ring during the video package. Can we just talk about Vince?
Go for it.
I understand he's in his 70s. Vince, honey, all due respect, please lay off the facelifts. I mean that with complete sincerity. Your lips are starting to do the weird Joker thing, where he looked like Jack Nicholson from Batman. Like, that version of the Joker. Stop with the facelifts. But yeah, Vince looked... He looked okay. He looked very tired.
Yeah.
But you can tell that Vince has definitely sort of become lesser. And I don't mean that in a negative way. You just see that time has sort of caught up with him over the last few years, because we've just sort of seen him start to shrink. Like, he's not as jacked as he used to be by half. And that's just really interesting to see.
Yeah.
But, and you could tell he was also emotional, because Vince basically put the capstone on the career. And in the end, it was Vince McMahon who said, it's over.
He goes, tonight we say goodbye. Pauses.
And that hurt.
He choked up on that one.
That hurt a lot, because he's saying goodbye to his... He's not saying goodbye to his friend, like he will never see Mark Calloway again, but Mark's maybe not going to be there for WrestleMania this year. He may stay home, because he doesn't have anything to do. Why is he going to come in unless he just wants to come in? Although he could be doing something for the company by then, who knows? But, like, it's basically... Vince is letting go of really the last person in the old guard that was still an active competitor with WWE. Mark is the last one, because Hunter is all but retired. I think if Hunter wanted to get back in the ring, I think if there was somebody really, really special that he wanted to face, he would get himself back into ring shape and he would do it. But I think Hunter really enjoys not having to wrestle anymore. And Shane just needs to not do anything at this point. He's thrown himself off enough. The Cell was it. The cell was his peak. He's good. So yeah, and everybody else is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So Taker's really the last of the old guard of Vince's boys, of his creations, that was left. And Taker stayed because Vince needed him, and eventually Taker had to say, look, I can't do anymore. I've hit my limit. This is it. And Vince has finally had to let him go. And we noticed that, like, in the Austin interview that Taker gave, he wouldn't say he was done. Even though they were prompting him for it, Taker wouldn't say he was done. It had to be Vince. Vince was the one that had to say it.
The old man, as they call him.
Yes, the old man had to let Mark go.
So Vince goes, they say nothing lasts forever. I think they are all wrong because the legacy of the Undertaker will live on for eternity. So now I give you the dead man, the phenom, ladies and gentlemen, the Undertaker.
This was really sweet. It was really fitting that they had Vince send him off.
Because
I don't think he's done that for anybody else. Publicly.
Wait, he inducted Austin, right?
He inducted Austin, but to send Mark off into retirement publicly. I think he might have done it for Flair.
No.
So it goes to show how special Mark is because of this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this... And then you have Mark himself come to the ring. And after 30 fucking years, they change the entrance and they remix the song.
Well, the beginning with the things.
Yeah, the beginning with the things, but they did a special version of his intro music. They gave him the Thunderdome experience, and God, was it beautiful. My TV couldn't handle the amount of blue, like it pixelates up like it always does with Taker's entrance, just because of how much blue's going on there, that it's just like, I can't handle this! Like, even in 4K, it's just like, no. I'm done. But it's a beautiful entrance. It's a beautiful send-off. Taker comes through the smoke. He comes out of the light, looking every bit the Undertaker that he is.
For the first time in 30 years, he did not have to walk up steps.
Nope, they were kind enough to make him a Taker Vader, and he levitated up to the ring on a scissor lift. They have him float up to the ring as he brings up the lights. He gets in the ring, and he takes it all in. And... the lights are down, or it's still dark in the arena. They kept the effects going throughout the entire thing. The audience is not on the screen when he's doing this.
Nope.
They have the swirling clouds, and they have the blue lighting, and they have the video going in the background, and they have all these wonderful effects. All these wonderful effects. They have fucking Tesla coils, which I'm like, before he came out,
yeah,
they had Tesla coils that were like going to his cymbal.
That was remixing the song, yeah.
And it was like, he's not going to walk out with the electricity because he has bad luck with fire. We're not going to do electricity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. But that was cool that they did that, that they gave him a Mania level entrance for his final farewell.
So he gets in the ring. He goes, for 30 long years, I've made that slow walk to this ring and laid people to rest time in and time again. And now my time has come. My time has come to let the Undertaker rest in peace. We had thank you Taker chants from the capacity crowd at home.
Not quite the same effect.
No. So he soaks it all in, tips his cap, gets down to one knee, strikes his pose,
sticks out his tongue,
and out came, via hologram, Paul Bearer.
Okay. I need everybody to understand that I feel like 90% of the audience was fine up until this point. Right? Because if you're like me, you watched the Austin interview before Survivor Series because it dropped at like 11 in the morning.
Same.
And if you watched it before Survivor Series or if you watched it after Survivor Series, number one, I would recommend watching it if you haven't. It gives you the closure that you need. Excuse me. Because you have Taker talking about his struggles. You have Taker talking about basically how he's tired. He's beat up. He's done, without saying that he's tired and beat up and done. But he fully admits his body can't do it anymore. Fully, flat out, just is like, I'm good, man. Like, he's satisfied with his career. He's satisfied with everything he's done. There's nothing else out there that can really tempt him to do anything else. Even though there's stuff that he wants to do, like, I still think he wants to mix it up with Bray Wyatt. Is he going to? Probably not, but I think he would love to if he was able to, but he's not. And the Austin interview, like going into it, because I was like so upset Sunday, I was like, oh my God, he's leaving me. And you try to be like, yes, this is right. This is good. You don't want him to go on forever. You need to let him go. kind of thing. But selfishly, as a fan, you want to keep him because he's just that safety blanket. He's like that security blanket. And it's like, I've been a fan of this man forever. He's the reason I watch pro wrestling, and now he's leaving me. Especially after like 20 years. It's like, if it's one thing I started watching like 5 years ago, it's like, yeah, okay, you can go after fucking 20 year love affair with this man. He's just going to leave me. Why? That's unnecessary, sir. And then there are people who had him longer, who had him the whole 30 years. Like, that's the thing. 30 years. Think about that. 30 years in WWE active. Like, Jesus Christ, dude. So anyway, so everybody, I feel like, at least for me, I had the closure that I needed, that when this time came, it's like, okay, this is right. This is good. I'm fine. I can get through this. I'm not going to cry. And then they threw that goddamn Paul Bearer hologram up there, and everybody and Jesus lost it.
Lindsay screamed so loud.
It's like, how dare you? Because he's on one knee doing the hand thing with Paul Bearer right there. One more time for the people in the back. It's like, rude, completely necessary, but so rude. I was not prepared for that at all. And then you have Taker get up as we're all sitting there crying. Because the whole time, because they do like a really tight close-up of Taker's face, and it's like, please don't cry. Please don't cry. Please don't cry. I'm not going to be okay if you cry. Please, please, please just hold it together, Mark. Please, just till you get to the back. Please don't cry. Just don't. Please don't do that to us. And he didn't. He, the consummate professional that he is, held it in, got up, took it all in one more time, one last time, and then he walked away. He got out of the ring. He took his Taker Vader down. He walked up the ramp and he paused at the top of the ramp. And we get one last look back at the camera. And with that, the Undertaker disappears into the night forever. And we all cried. Because he's gone.
Yeah.
And this is where I have to yell at people. Monday morning rolls around. I'm on social media. And there are specific news sites that I'm not going to name. But you know who you are.
They're news with a Z.
Putting out that, oh hey, The Undertaker could come back for Saudi Arabia. The man has not been retired 12 hours, and they're already putting out stuff that he's going to be coming back. I'm not saying he wouldn't, like, if they pay him the right amount of money, I'm pretty sure he would. But, less than 12 hours, guys. Less than 12 hours. You could at least wait 24.
Nah, they gotta get the clickbait in.
Like, god damn.
Because then in 3 months from now, they're right. They'll be like, oh my god, see, we told you this was our exclusive.
Anyway, I just had to bring that up. In terms of the tribute, this was so well executed. This was so well done. I was a little sad it wasn't in front of an arena full of people. But at the same time, I'm grateful for it because it was this very fitting tribute that The Undertaker is going out like the loner he is. On his own.
The Last Outlaw.
The Last Outlaw. On his own terms. He had all his friends there. They all got together. But he wasn't with them. And then he came out on his own. And the fans weren't there to interrupt him. The fans weren't there to chant one more match. The fans weren't there to chant, thank you, Taker. He was able to take his time. And the silence really spoke volumes. The silence added something to it that I feel, or the buzz. There wasn't really a silence, there was a buzz, but because I don't think they muted the fans in it.
Well, there were no fans.
Yeah, but the silence made it feel more real, if that makes sense. Because you never know, right? Like, you never know if this is actually it. And there was a lot of speculation of, is this actually going to be it? Are they setting up Mania? Is he going to do one more match at Mania? Is he going to get taken out by anybody? Like, we speculated about it, that you could have somebody come out and roll up and take out The Undertaker. And he used that as a launching point for them. That didn't happen. And he just walked away on his own, which was fine. Like, this was a beautiful, stunning, lovely tribute to him. And I couldn't be happier and sadder. But I think what was so apropos was after this was over, the next day, he and the wife and the daughter went to the beach and he punked some kids.
Yeah, for Make-A-Wish. Yeah.
For Make-A-Wish, he punked some kids. But I don't know if that was before or after. But yeah, I will miss him. But I take comfort in the fact that he's happy, that he's healthy, that he's moving on to the next chapter of his life. And it's on his terms. That's the most important thing, because it has to be on his terms, because I feel like otherwise he wouldn't have been able to stop. And that's not what you want to see him do. You don't want to see him continue to degenerate, because we've seen it over the last few years. He's admitted that that's what's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
He's seen it. He's felt it. He knows it's there. And more importantly, he knows that we've seen it, because he's heard us. He hears people talking about it, and he doesn't like it. And he realized, I think, that he's becoming what he didn't want to be, which is a parody of himself. And he didn't want to rely on all that equity that he's built up over the last 30 years and to cover for the fact that, you know, he can't really go anymore.
Yeah.
And no offense to Mr. Flair, but I don't think he wants to be Ric Flair in his 70s and 80s still working.
No.
He wants to sort of just go off and be Mark and be with his family and do what he wants to do. And if they need him to show up, he'll show up. If the story's right, or if they just need him for the Hall of Fame, he'll show up for that. But ultimately, I think he just wants to go off and live his life and enjoy what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody's earned it, it's him. He stayed when the times were lean, and he celebrated when the times were good. And he carried that company on his back for a long goddamn time.
He did.
So he's gone. I don't know how to end this other than he's gone. Like, this, as a tribute, it was good. It was a beautiful tribute. I'm sure there are more coming, because they filmed stuff for him with him that day. So I'm sure there's like a 24 coming, and then they'll do a Hall of Fame special for him. And like, he's not out of our lives. And if you follow him on the socials, he's definitely not out of your lives.
No, he's not.
He's not super active, but he's getting more active. Because I think now he realizes, hey, I can post whatever I want. I'm good. Like that whole, he can just be his weird dorky self. He's starting to explore that a little bit publicly.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we get to watch that unfold over the next few months. We'll see how he does come Mania. But yeah, so that does it for us in terms of Survivor Series. Overall, this was a good show.
Yeah. This is a very solid show. I enjoyed it. Yeah, it wasn't the best show. It wasn't the worst show. It was a good show. And that's all you can really ask for at this stage of the game.
I feel like they didn't necessarily put on a humdinger of a show because of what it was ending with. And that was such an emotional toll on everybody that it's like everything else was at the right level. So that way that final tribute shined above everything else. Not that it really wouldn't, but just to make sure. And I feel like they kind of kept everything else at a very specific lower level, so there was balance there in that show.
Yeah. So we went 4-3, 8-Ball went 4-2, the wheel went 1-5.
We beat the wheel and the 8-Ball. Brent didn't.
No, he went 3-4.
I just had to get that in there.
You did.
But anyway, I think that does it for us. What do you think?
That does it for the Thanksgiving Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Spectacular. Presented by Manscaped.com. Go to Manscaped.com. Use code WTLive to save 20% off and free shipping till Monday, till the end of the month.
Till the end of the month, guys.
Go do a thing. Chapter 2, Season 5 of Fortnite's coming up. Use code RocketSocket to Fortnite in the shop. Hashtag ad, hashtag epic partner. If you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can support us at twitch.tv/WTLive for free. Saturday night, Midnight-ish, is another edition of Secret Room. SecretLab.com, GreaterTheGreatDebate.com. Sunday night's Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's The Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. You can check out all the great programming that we have to offer, including a lot of the Rack Extras, Ms. and Mrs., the Brothers and the Sharks, and a very special one probably coming here in the next day or two. So, you don't want to miss it. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsport, LNSWRD. So everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to the Rack Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble. We hope you had a great holiday, or a great day in general if it's not Thanksgiving or you don't celebrate, and that you enjoyed the show. We will be back live, depending on when you're listening to this, next week on a regular date and time. So please come hang out with us, chat in the chat boxes, and come follow the channel. We would greatly appreciate it. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to the Rock Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving Spectacular, and we'll see you later. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.